You might like to open your Bible to the book of Exodus and chapter 15. Exodus and 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can open your word freely. And God, that we have the right and privilege to understand in order that we might honor you the better. So God, thank you for thy word, for thy presence, and all that you're doing. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. If you remember, in Genesis 3:15, God gives to Adam and Eve the promise of a Savior, our Lord going to the cross, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. And there's two lines, the believers and the unbelievers, two. They go through history, believers and unbelievers, simple. And in the process, as we go through history, starting off right at the start, what do we have? We have Cain, and we have Abel. What do we know about Abel? Well, Abel agreed with his parents, agreed with God, and he understood he needed a Savior, and he had an old nature that opposed God, and Abel believed God, and he sacrificed, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ in the future. Cain, on the other hand, did not. Both looking the same. Everything's the same. They're looking. God's there, everything. The difference is Abel is paying attention to the instructions that God requires, and Cain is not. And thus, as you know, moving along history, Cain was not happy with such a thing, and Cain murdered his brother, Abel. That's what he did. First thing. And the first, as we shared in Sunday school, the first person ever murdered was a believer. And so here's Cain killing Abel, doing. And it's going to go all the way through history. It's going to be this conflict, A versus B, light versus darkness, life versus death, and etc. Good versus evil, right versus wrong. That's where it's going to go. It's with planet Earth. That's where we are. Therefore, Israel is taken out of Egypt after 400 years and taken out of Egypt. And going out of Egypt, Israel is going to go and be a nation to all the nations of the world to be God's witness. But in the process of exiting out of Egypt, Pharaoh is not happy with the occasion, etc. And so therefore, for Israel, like for Cain, for Abel to worship God, Cain said, that's unacceptable. Pharaoh said, for Israel to go to Mount Sinai and worship God, that's unacceptable. Unacceptable. And therefore, he charges. And God sets all of the thing up so it can be a wonderful occasion by the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 15, as you know, they end up crossing the Red Sea. And in the process, chapter 15, the Song of Moses, verse 2. And the Lord is my strength, my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, sliding on, says Moses, verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. He's a man of war. God is a warrior. What is a man of war? He's the hero. He's the conqueror. He's the savior. He is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, that the Israel exits out of Egypt. And in the process, you'd say, well, and Egypt's taken out of the way as a nation, as far as that, at that point in history. And here's Israel. And Israel, you're going to have the enemy's gone. No, the enemy isn't gone. The believers and unbelievers, wherever they are, they could be right together. One's a believer, one's an unbeliever. Conflict. Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17, you remember Israel has a conflict, has a war with Amalek. Amalek is the grandson of Esau. And in the process, going for the light of the context, chapter 17, straight down to the end, verse 16. And he said, because the Lord has sworn, because the Lord has sworn, that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. He's the Lord of war. And he doesn't quit. The man, humans, Cain, and all the unsaved Arabs, Amalek and all of that, Arabs, what are they going to do? They're against God. It can't be against God. He's the only God. So therefore, there's war. And now, keep in mind, we share together war, little word. It has to do with being consumed. And the most wonderful little word it is, it means to eat food, and you chew food, you consume it, you chew it up. No matter what it is, you destroy it, you go to war with it. That's what you do. That's the word war. The Arabic, as we shared, is the same thing, only this says, to grind the teeth in eating, to grind the teeth over something, to destroy it, to eat, to consume. That's the word war. And we share together 1,000 times, keep in mind, that your body, because of man's sin, everything is in upheaval, including the universe, is there waiting to get cured from the effect of man's sin, which God is letting it show up everywhere. So here's the universe in which we live, and in the universe and in the world system, and it is war. It is war with God. It isn't happy. Your body is at war, and that's what we've shared. You know it. It's an illustration. Wonderful one. Eating, consuming, and then what? Your body is busy with all of the different, there are 12 systems, and all of them busy with all of the bacteria and everything going on all over the place. Germs and good guys and bad guys, and they're there. And you live every single hour, every single minute at war. And the good guys eating the bad guys, and the bad guys trying to keep and get advantage over the good guys. And you call it, when you're winning the war, you call it a state of health. When you're losing the war, we call it sickness. It's a war. It never quits. 24 hours a day, battling. Battling, it never disappears. God is going to have war with human nature, the old nature, with the Cains and everybody unsaved. All the unbelievers are going to be at war with God. So here's history, here's believers trying to honor God. Because why is God doing that? You say, why don't we just let unbelievers be unbelievers? Why can't we just let it all go? Because Christ died for every unbeliever to be saved. Christ wanted Cain saved. He wants him saved. Therefore, God is being gracious and fights. Otherwise, he'd just exit and end it. But you don't. You came to war. It's that your old nature's there, the unsaved nature's there, and you got war. On and on and on, war. Exodus, we read, Israel is going to have war. Israel's in the land. They crossed the Jordan. The Egyptians are gone. They went over the Philistines and Jebusites and Hivites and everybody. They had war with them. They're having war with them. Picking up where we were, over to Judges. Judges in chapter 3. Even chapter 2. And in Judges, remember in the days of Joshua, they win war after war after war. They kill, they defeat 33 kings. So they have the whole land. They've taken it over. But the enemy is there, the giants are there, everything's there. And the Israel needs to clean house in each of their own houses. In other words, God divides Israel up to 12 tribes. Each tribe has their little grassy lot and house, and they need to take care of the bad guys that are there. And if that's their job. Anyhow, but that's what they're doing. But they didn't do that. They didn't take care. No more the bad bacteria wins. So here's the bad in Israel. And in the days of Judges, the bad guys are winning, and the good guys are letting them are losing. So when we come to chapter 2 in Judges, and remember it, verse 21, I also will not henceforth drive out anyone from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove, put to the test, put on trial. I want to see where Israel is. Are they with me or against me? Therefore I leave them there and prove Israel, verse 22, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. I want to know what they're going to do. So the only way we can test them is leave them there and see what's going to happen. Are they going to go and get rid of them, or are they going to become like them? Verse 23. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. So they're going to stay there. It's a test. There's a war. Now, are you going to be in the war for me or against me? For me or against me in the war? That's what I want to know. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove, put to the test, to put on trial. Israel, how's Israel going to go to trial? By them, by those nations. Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. In other words, those are people, they grew up, and they never knew the Second World War, they never knew Vietnam War, whatever, they never knew. Korean War, I should say, never knew. And verse 3, that Israel, by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know what? To teach them war, at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. They knew nothing about war. So at least I'm going to leave the bad guys there, and see what they're going to do with them. That's what I'm going to do. They've got to understand there's a war on. If they don't understand there's a war on, you won't fight. You don't prepare. You aren't looking to win. And if you aren't looking to win, are you not going to be a loser if you're not going to win? You're going to play checkers with somebody and you're not going to win, then the other guy playing has a good shot of beating you, right? And trying to win, you're going to lose. They've got to know war or they're going to lose. You aren't going to win. You're not going to have the wonderful life that God has. Abel would have had it for a little bit before Cain killed him. Now, Moses had it, as it were, until God took him. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, as we're going along, so here's all the generation and that knew that were born, that were they were born, and then they lived, and the nations were there, the bad guys were there, and they didn't do very good with them. They just didn't do very good. So ultimately, they wanted a king, as you know, not to help them all, help a king, because they weren't going to trust God as their king. So therefore, it all went downhill. With all the kings, including David, all of it ended up in the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivity because they didn't learn war. They didn't understand. If you don't understand what you're up against, if you're going to try to honor God in this world system, you have to understand the world system is 1,000% against you, 2,000% against you. Now, if you don't understand that, you got trouble because the world doesn't want you in any way, shape, or form to let God find a home in your heart and to express his wonderful grace and mercy for you to enjoy it. And remember now, without going back in Joshua chapter 1, what do we know? Here's the 2.5 tribes. What did God want? God wanted them to fight with the 11, so the whole 12 tribes were fighting as a unit. But when they come back, what did you want? When the war was, you beat the enemy, you want them to come back to their piece of property that God has given them, and the little word, to enjoy it. To enjoy God's will in a world that loves darkness. To enjoy God. That's, you get in the ball game. So, having said that, and the test of that, of course, is just to keep in mind in the process that the world is going to go, and when's the last time? Think of all the people you meet and hear and listen to coming and going everywhere. How many people are overcoming and enjoying God's wonderful presence, actually? Believers, how many people are actually enjoying God's presence? You should see it somewhere. See it, hear it. They should be enjoying God's presence. And we're trying to get there. We're trying to keep in that path. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, so the battle rages, is going to be raging, and going as we go down the corridor of time. So this a spiritual battle, and it's a spiritual battle for sure. And in the process, you know, and without turning there perhaps, in Ephesians in chapter 2 and 1 and 2 and 3 in there, God says that you and I are being governed by the prince, that ruler, of the power, the right and the might, the prince, the ruler, of the power of the air, the devil himself. And the devil The devil is not interested. The world system is made up of us humans. The world system is made up of us humans who all have an old nature contrary to God. The devil is in charge. He couldn't be in charge if God's over you. But if you just got an old nature, he got you. He got us. He done got us. He's the boss. We all get the old nature. That's called the world system. I use the world, the normal world, the flowers and everything. That's God created it. The world system is made up of us humans. He's the ruler of this system. And therefore, he is in charge. He is never the world system has no room, no place for God whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and you remember, without turning there also in Romans chapter 1, etc., 18, 19, 20, 21, what do we know? Well, God said, listen, men having and holding the truth, they're having and holding what they know is God, His God and His Word. They're holding, they understand that. They don't want to understand it properly. They're rejecting the truth of it, leaving it as no value, giving no value to them whatsoever. The Bible and God is no value because we don't believe. In the process, God said, the flowers, the birds, the bugs, the bees, bear witness to Him. Everything in creation bears witness to Him, and by faith we understand and believe and know Him as our Savior if we would. But the world doesn't want to know that. The world rejects that. So, having said that, the world is not going to be happy. So, with anyone that believes, church, religious, no problem, no problem. Religious wars, we've had them. No question, but to go and let God be God, that's a whole nother ball game. To want to go fight for God, that's one thing. To want to let God do a work in your heart and He will fight, that's I'm letting God outwork His own battles. I'm letting God outwork them. I may be, like Joshua, an instrument, but I'm looking for God to do it. I'm not going to go and we have crusades, all kinds of crusades, and they're reasonable, what you're trying to, people trying to say and do to fix things. But when we're all done without God, you're trying to fix something. And the good guys are trying to say this, and the bad guys are trying to do this. And they're at odds with each other, like this, at odds. And they may win, they may lose. We're presently losing a lot in our country. So in the process of losing, where's God in it? If God was in it, that would be a different story. But we are looking for God, generally speaking. We're letting, doing what we do, and outworking it. So here's the wars going on in one way or another all the time. They never go away. And all we do is go from one system to the next thing. And in the process, we adjust to the new conditions, the culture, the diet, the food, what we do and how we do things, depending on the background of the country, etc. And that's what we do. And whether we're losing or winning, whether we've been defeated, whether we're at war, like in Russia and Ukraine and that, whatever, over there. And we adjust. We just keep adjusting. That's how we do it. And we adjust to it. God, with all of that, that is not the same as overcoming. You need to overcome the war. You're in the war. You cannot get out of the war. Think of Ecclesiastes again. Again, not turning there, should turn there. Ecclesiastes. You know there is no discharge in this war. There is no time for recreation. or going. There is no discharge in this war that you are in. Remember Ecclesiastes 8, no discharge. You would think there would be. There isn't. There's, like we said, day and night, your body is doing what it's doing, either winning or losing. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so the evil and the good and the bad, etc., there they are, darkness and light, right and wrong, and here's our world system opposing God in every way, shape, or form that it can. Now, in the process of doing that, here we are, God's going. Or if I can, in the light of that, over to Matthew and chapter 25. And remember, there's another factor to keep the war going. And Matthew chapter 25. So it isn't going to go away. And it's all in there, one form or another. And that's what it's doing. Now, having said that, in Matthew chapter 25, picking up, please, in verse 41. Then shall you say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And then you remember and keep in mind, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's before you were ever created. That was prepared for them. You and I are to be a testimony. God created Adam and Eve and all of us humans to be saved and to show the devil and his angels that God is just and God is fair and God's judgment of the angels, including Satan, is fair and just and right. The devil has come along and got a whole bunch of the worldlings to be unsaved, to make the whole thing look to God. See, you can't save anybody. And you know, ultimately, jumping ahead, when you go to the tribulation, what's the devil going to do? You can't buy or sell. He's going to have the whole world in one way or another. Against God, the Battle of Armageddon, etc. Got to be against God. God, you wanted us all saved so that we'd be witnesses that the devil and his judgment, the devil's judgment is correct and just, and the devil's going to go and louse it up, and try to get all us that's supposed to be saved, unsaved. Doing what? Going against God. The Battle of Armageddon. Going against God. You see, that's where the devil is. To louse it up. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here's God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And God, you're going to have to go and help us in every way. So, and keep in mind now, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, the enemy, go over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And you will note, who's the enemy? Not us humans, because we just have an old nature, and we're part of the world system in one form or another. But when you receive the Lord as your Savior, which is what Abel did, Abel believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, here we are. When the people receive the Lord as their Savior, even now in these days of grace, when you receive the Lord, you have no problem with God. Ephesians, Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3. The God of the prince, the ruler, the judge, the ruler, the spirit of this world. He's the ruler of the unsaved world. And the unsaved world is under his control. That's what it says. And therefore, here's the unsaved world under his control. And that's fine. when you receive the Lord as your Savior, which is what the whole second chapter in that, what's it saying? You were dead in your trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2, 5. You got saved in God's wonderful grace. God seated you in heavenly places. And God is to say you're saved by grace and not by works, etc. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, verse 10. Wow! That's an offense. And the devil cannot have that. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, chapter 15, John, and you'll know in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know it hated me before it ever hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hateth you. That's the problem. As long as you run this side, no problem. But the minute you go on God's side, you received him as your Savior, wow, there you go. Devil says nothing doing. You got a war in your heart. And the war in your heart is there because, Galatians, then in Galatians and chapter 5, and you will note, which you know, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, the difference, you're the same person. The difference is you have a relationship. You believe that God died on the cross to save you. He paid the price for your sin. He took your place on Calvary's cross. You know that. That's you, but you know God did that for you. When you receive him as your Savior, he is the Savior. He brings to you the saving grace, which includes forgiveness, a pardon to be purchased, to belong to God. And so when you receive him as your Savior, that's a wonderful thing. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, that's when you'll find out the world hates him. Not you trying to be a nice person and care about people, no. No, when you're going to let God be wonderfully God, think of John the Baptist, you vipers and everybody. Think of our Lord saying the same thing to them. No one wants to know. Do you understand? You are an offense to God's holy, in God's holy creation. You are an offense. And God hates it. That, who wants to hear that? That's war. And therefore, we've got that kind of attitude, that kind of thinking. I need to know that's what might happen. I received the Lord as my Savior. Galatians now. Galatians chapter 5. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, what do you know? Verse 16. 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth that goes against the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, they're opposite. So that, what does it do to your heart? So that you cannot do the things that you would. You had no problem with anything. Whatever your world system, drinking, drugs, whatever you want out there. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you come and have an understanding, it should be there some kind. The Spirit of God says, you're not your own, Galatians, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your spirit and in his body, which are God's. And the Spirit of God tries to honor that. So, but our old nature doesn't want to honor that. So we got a problem I never had. And that's why Peter's going to say, you have war in your heart. That's where war is. You want to get rid of war, you already got war in your heart. So it isn't, you don't have to, where am I going to find it? All I got to do is look in the mirror. You got the war. Your old nature is dead set against God. Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8. The flesh cannot please God. Yeah, I got it. It's war. I need to understand that. So that the war and wars and rumors of wars, wars are awful things. They're awful. They're necessary sometimes in order to fix things. Wars. They're there. They aren't going away. And the real war is a spiritual war. And the spiritual war requires a whole different weaponry, a whole different reproach. The world hates me, hates my relationship to God. And as I trust God and yield to God, God gives me the victory over my old nature, and I'm looking to God to help me, and I'm going down the corridor of time, bearing witness to his wonderful grace, seeking to enjoy. I walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is what? Cleansing me from, 1 John 1, 7. All sin? I'm not saying anything. We're just recognizing what? We recognize we've got an old nature, 1 John 1, 8. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. We deceive ourselves. So, what are we doing? We're being realistic that God saved us. And we're giving God the credit. The world hates that. It hates it. That's the problem. And therefore you're persecuted and everything else in one form or another as you do that. Now, having said that, sliding over if I can, to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, and you would guess. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, picking up, if I may. We're sort of drifting off here. I hope you get a little bit. Trying to get it so you understand. There's a war. I need to understand what it's there. I say, I don't feel there's a war. How would you like to live in the Ukraine at the moment? How would you like to live in Russia? How's that? And worse, live in China. I think I'd pick Russia before I pick China. China. No, sir. No. We're free. I go home and have what do I do? Go to bed, get up, go to work. I do it. No war. Ah, there is a war. You just aren't feeling it. It's all over. It's everywhere. The whole universe is against in the satanic world, the demonic setting, is against God. It isn't for God. It isn't for the glory of God. The heavens reflect the glory of God, but the system doesn't honor it. So now, here's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we can't fight this thing with just any old thing. So therefore, chapter 10, as you would know, in verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold, that I'm bold when I see, when I am present with confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, they were getting after the Apostle Paul because he was telling them the right thing to do and they didn't want to hear the right thing to do. And that's the way it is. Everything is good until you don't like what I said. Then you goodbye. That's right. But that's why, for you and me, for us, that's why you stick to the book. And as carefully as you can, you read it and let it say what it says. Then you're dealing with God. You don't want to deal with our thoughts and opinions and translations. You want to deal with what God says. And if that's what the problem. So now, having said that, Therefore, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We can't do it. The flesh cannot. We can't beat the devil. It belongs to the world system. And you're trying to fight the world system, in the world system, by the world system, of which you're a part of. Did that come out right? You're part of the world system. How are you going to fight the very thing you're part of? You're part of the world system of unbelief. So therefore, we can't war that way. We aren't going to win this war. There's all kinds of wars that are there, and you have to go fight sometime, literally. Now, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You'll never do that with a BB gun. Casting down imaginations, thought process, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you're not as the sea as your old nature. You're seeking to honor God, and as you honor God, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we're going to look to God and honor His word. We're going to stand and under, think of what we did in Sunday school by faith. Faith's holding it up, holding the Bible. That's why we're safe. Why are we safe? Because we're resting. What are we trusting in? We're letting the reality of God and His word and His grace show. How did I find it for my heart? How did I put it out on the street for public to see, for people to see? I believed by faith. I'm trusting it. And you'll see it. We did it at Sunday school. Now, in the process, casting down every high thought. And God, we say, no, that's not a good thought, God. We walk in the light as He is in the light, back to that. And we're there. We aren't being high and mighty or anything. We're just being real. Simply, wonderfully real. You really, really, really are what we are. We are. And you're really, really, really saved if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You really, really are. And you don't work at it. You didn't make it. And when you look in the mirror and you look at the world and see everything that's not right, God has done right in saving you. And that's what it is. And you can thank God. So we get out of bed. We go to bed. We do everything we should do. God help us, so that we can relax in doing it there. And it isn't some big thing because we're anything. No. People say that. They say all those things. They're wrong. The confidence that you're showing is because you're resting in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians in chapter 6, picking up and if I can, you know, the wonderful, wonderful movement of Ephesians. So when you come to chapter 6, God has given you the seated in heavenly places, etc. But you're on planet Earth. And therefore, verse 11, I'll read verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You've got to be dressed properly. The devil is going to fire everything he can at you. And, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. What kind of hold do you use when it isn't flesh and blood, if you were a wrestler? I mean, what do you want? I'm not a wrestler. What if you did? What kind of hold would you use to hold it doesn't have flesh and blood? Here's a demon. How am I going to get the demon? See? I get the demon. No, you don't. Mary Magdalene had 12 demons cast out. Demons. How do you get them? You don't. You can't fight them. Therefore, we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers in darkness, against this world's spiritual wickedness in high places. So the only thing we can do is go running out and charge and get them. No, make sure you got this suit of armor on. Make sure you're dressed, because you're a prime target in the world you live in. At work, at home, at school, you're a target. Put the armor on so that you're protected. We aren't going to go and beat the enemy. We can't go and go to the, when it used to be years ago, we shared it with the Red Dog Saloon down here. You never remember it. The Red Dog Saloon down the end of the street there. And I used to say, well, let's go with a group of us down the Red Dog Saloon and tell them we need to be saved, hand out tracts, and knock all their drinks off and do everything. And they're going to love us, right? No, they aren't going to love us. They have a right to go to that bar room and get drunk. That's a privilege, isn't it? That's their privilege to do that. It is not my job to take care of that barroom. They choose that. When they try to bring that barroom to my house, that's different. When they bring it to my heart, that's really different. And that they can't do. You do not allow that. So God, what are we looking for? I got to put on the whole armor of God, because I can't go fight everything. I can't do it. I'm not supposed to fight everything. I'm supposed to be a light that survives. And here's all the, well, read it, fiery, watch it. Wherein take heed, take unto you, verse 12, 13, the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What am I going to do? I'm going to stay well dressed. So out in the world, work, home, school, wherever I'm going, all the stuff is there. I'm not trying to tell them they can't be unsaved. I'm not going to try to tell. No, I'm going to point to Christ and be a dog. And if they're going to go after me, they're going to have to what? Go through the armor. They're going to have to go through Christ. How? Say that now in a different way. Philippians chapter 4. How is that going to happen? Philippians in chapter 4. Picking up, please. In verse 6. 4:6, Philippians. Be careful. Don't be anxious. Don't be divided in your mind. Stop, literally. Just like we looked at this morning, the command. Stop, the Lord said to Mary. Stop clinging to me. This one says, stop being anxious. You're doing it. Don't do it. Stop it. Stop it. Command. Stop being anxious. Stop being divided in mind. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. 4, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our weapons are not carnal, but God, how are we going to do it? We're going to let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And God, I'm going to thank you for your saving grace. I'm going to thank you that I can walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. And I'm going to go in the peace of God. But my armor, what kind of armor is it? Oh, little thing. I have a little Roman soldier someone gave me with the armor. It's in my, if you ever go in my little hallway to the house, you'll see it standing there. Wonderful little thing. Depicting the armor as it was, as they had it. Oh, it's a wonderful little thing. Someone made it. Anyway, in the process. Where's the armor? The armor that I need is found in the Spirit of God. It's His wonderful presence in person. And the Spirit of God does what? He's going to go and manifest and make clear the wonderful saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to overcome all that comes in to disturb, to disrupt, to destroy all that would come in, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep me and keep you. That's what it does. It's a wonderful thing that God does. The honor of God. Peace of God. Wow. God, and in the... Well, we got to quit. I've wandered so much. I think my Martha and Mary this morning got me. So what did I do? Martha and Mary, I had them everywhere. So anyway, we haven't even opened your Bible, hardly. Have you got a little bit? Do you understand the battle? It's war. And there's no nice... Say, well, I'm a pacifist, like Quaker or something. Well, go have some Quaker oats and forget being a pacifist, you see. Forget that. You can't be a pacifist. You better learn to do it. Be a fighter. Be able to stand. Only so many will do it. I say it to all of us, but only so many will ever be able to do it. Because they don't want to do it. They don't want, better surrender. Here comes, and what do we say as quickly as the guy marched down the street? Comrades, comrades. Join them. Whether you're a good guy, who's winning? I want to join the winner, you say. Who's winning the war? You say, no, I don't want to do that. Now, God, help us. So now, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall mount God in your heart in a most wonderful way. And what are you going to do? You're going to be an overcomer. That's what you're going to do. Why are you going to overcome? The peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart. So we're able to keep, thank God. Thank God we can get there. In the pain, the heartache, the easy, things that aren't good, things that are horrible today. They're horrible things. And no one likes to see them or hear them. But they're there. And God saves us. And that's why we're more thankful for being saved, that God saved us from that. Now, so therefore, or if I can, to back over to 1 John. And remember, the world system is an enemy of God, so don't love the world system. Don't get caught up in it. It's not worth it. And for the young people, I say it again. I know it's a lot, and you may not understand some many things. But if you can just get the atmosphere. You won't find it anywhere else except where God's people are gathered together and where that atmosphere is. You can't replace that. And you don't make it real. God makes it real. And that's where God is doing what He's doing. And just think of a great umbrella. Get this arm up. Umbrella. Big umbrella. And the storm is there. And God is sheltering. And the little kids don't know beans. Maybe they do. But God watches over them. And you can't replace it. I've said it over the years. You can't replace the local body of believers where God is doing what He's doing. You are wonderfully protected. And most of the time we're stupid about the whole thing. And we don't even know it. Now, it's a side fact. I watched it over the years. I know it. Now, so therefore in 1 John, First John, chapter 5, going down, please, to verse 3. 5:3. First John. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. No. Reason. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Remember back, we think of Sunday school, faith. We're resting on it. I'm resting on God's. I'm believing in God. That is the victory. I got it. How can you overcome? You'll have to beat him. I'm giving my heart to God. Now, in verse 4. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, what are we doing? What do we do to win? We just gave our heart and held. Faith is the supporting. We're going to hold God. What are you trusting? I'm trusting God. Trusting his word. Trusting his saving grace. That's what I'm doing. If you don't like it, tell him. But don't tell me, because I'm trusting him by faith. I believe. That's what you're doing. Now, chapter 4. And chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome the world. Overcome them. How can I overcome them and the world, bad guys? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why we go back to what we said earlier. You receive the Lord as your Savior. You're the same old nature. You receive the solution. You receive the Savior. You receive the one who fixes everything and makes it all so you enjoy being saved. Even while, that's why we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Because we still get the old nature. But we're able to enjoy God's wonderful saving grace in the war. And the war isn't going to get us. No, not at all. Therefore, in closing, over if you would please to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians, I hope you got a little bit. I just sort of wandered. Just hope you got. So 2 Corinthians, wonderful. You have to have victory. You have to win the war. You don't have a treaty. There's no treaty. Half and half. Will be neutral. No, sir. You have to win. You have to overcome. And when you overcome, he is the victory. Christ, you have to turn there. John 16 and 33. Greater is he that I am overcome the world. Overcome in the world, you're going to have tribulation, etc. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world in you. I'm the victor. I'm the winner. And as long as I, by faith, honoring you, God, and as I do that, you're going to go and have the victory. If I don't do that, I lose. So there's no halfway point. And you remember this story, don't you? Remember years ago we used it for different things. And here during the Civil War, down there, Mason, line in the middle of the country, south of us in the middle of the country, and the farmer didn't want to be caught up in the war. So he wore Confederate pants and a Union jacket so that either one would come and, you know. And it was a good thought because the Confederates shot his jacket and the Union shot his breeches. And that was a wonderful move to make sure you weren't going to go anywhere. You see? Verse 14. 2 and 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, always, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always underlined, morning, noon, and night. There's no moment of your day, if you're saved, that you can't enjoy being saved. No reason. Verse 14, and maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance, the odor of his knowledge by us in every place we go. We're little Airwick bottles. They still have Airwick, whatever they do. We're little Airwick bottles, up and down, and you know, putting on a fragrance. What's a fragrance? That's that smell. It's God's wonderful grace. God's wonderful grace. You see, God's a winner. I gotta quit. I hope you got a little victory, but you must win. And if you play halfway and don't finish the job, Israel never finished the job with the idols that lived, idols and idolatry that was in their backyard. And they didn't take care of it. And that's why you have Israel over there today in unbelief. They should have won. God said, it's in your backyard, you're responsible. It's in your heart, and you are responsible to take care so that you don't lose. And you confess your sin, etc. So that you don't lose. Our Father and God, we thank you. So deal with our heads, our hearts, and our homes, and health, and our wealth. God, the system and where it's going is awesome. And God, the undergirding as they eat away the foundation, God, and we're sitting up here on top. God, we aren't interested in saving the foundation or the building. God, we just want to be a little light, knowing all of the other things have to happen. God, while we're here. So God, help us. We're just a little old body of believers looking to you to honor your word and honor your saving grace, and that we would be a little testimony to a world darkening and getting darker. And our world and our God, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.